Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average down 51 to close at 20,954. S&P 500 down 7 at 2,375. NASDAQ Composite down 21 at 5,849. Russell 2000, the small and mid-caps, down 9 at 1,384. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note flat at 2.49%. Oil down 12 cents at $53.21 per barrel. And gold down $8.80 at $1,226.50 per ounce. It was on this date, in 2009, the S&P 500 hit an intraday low of 666. The closing low was 3 days later, but the intraday low was 8 years ago today. This past Friday, Fed Chair Janet Yellen signaled that an interest rate hike would likely come when Fed leaders meet next week. A March rate hike is now being priced into the markets, and about the only thing that could change the Fed's plan is weak economic data, giving a little extra significance to Friday's jobs report. Now, you recall in January, according to the Department of Labor's Bureau of Labor Statistics, the economy added 227,000 jobs. Unemployment was at 4.8%. Hourly earnings rose 0.1%. The U.S. probably created a healthy 200,000 new jobs last month, keeping the unemployment rate below 5%. North Korea fired four ballistic missiles early today. Three landed within a couple hundred miles of Japan in what Japan considers an exclusive economic zone. The U.S. has about 28,500 troops and equipment stationed in the south and plans to roll out the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense Anti-Missile Defense System by the end of the year. The ongoing provocative actions by North Korea insinuates that somehow that country is skirting sanctions. The United Nations Security Council recently issued a report claiming Malaysian companies are acting as a front in an arms sales operation and requesting suspect companies' assets be frozen. Malaysia has denied the claims but otherwise not responded to the UN. China recently announced it would stop all imports of coal from North Korea, but the UN report raises concerns about front companies operating in China continuing to do business with North Korea. As early as December 2016, China had blown past a UN-imposed ceiling of 1 million metric tons of coal imports, purchasing twice that amount. China then shrugged off a requirement to report its North Korean coal imports to the UN Security Council Sanctions Committee. North Korean banks and firms, meanwhile, have maintained access to international financial markets through a vast network of Chinese-based front companies, enabling Pyongyang to evade sanctions. President Trump signed a revised executive order today banning citizens from six Muslim-majority nations from traveling to the United States, but removing Iraq from the list after his first attempt was blocked in the courts. The new order keeps a 90-day ban on travel to the U.S. by citizens of Iran, Libya, Syria, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. Iraq was taken off the banned list because the Iraqi government has imposed new vetting procedures, such as heightened visa screening and data sharing, and because of its work with the U.S. in countering ISIS militants. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson told reporters after Trump signed the new order that it is the president's solemn duty to protect the American people. The new order spells out detailed categories of people eligible to enter the U.S., such as for business or medical travel, or people with family connections, or who support the United States. Trump's original ban resulted in more than two dozen lawsuits in U.S. court, and today's revised order is likely to face legal challenges as well. Demand for travel to the United States over the coming months has flattened out following a positive start to the year, with uncertainty over a possible new travel order, likely deterring visitors. That, according to Forward Keys, a travel analysis company which analyzes 16 million flight reservations a day from major global reservation systems. Overall, bookings for travel to the U.S. over the next 3 months are 0.4% down compared to last year, whereas they had been 3.4% ahead the day before the travel restrictions were imposed. According to travel search site Kayak, searches from Europe for flights to the U.S. are down 12% since the election. However, Germans, some of the biggest spenders on travel, have not been deterred, with searches up 10% over that same period. General Motors has agreed to sell its European division to Peugeot. The deal will total $2.3 billion and consist of GM's sales of its unit containing Opel and Vauxhall for $1.3 billion and its European GM financial arm for $1 billion. GM will take a $4 billion charge on the sale. The Opel deal continues a business theme for GM. Earlier, the company had pulled out of Russia and discontinued its Chevrolet brand in Europe. It also ended auto manufacturing in Australia. Standard Life and Aberdeen Asset Management are merging. The deal to combine the two investment firms values the combined entity at $13.4 billion. The merger will create the largest asset manager in Britain. Deutsche Bank is raising cash. Shares of the German investment bank down more than 6% after the company announced it would tap the markets for $8.5 billion to help improve its financial health after 2 years of heavy losses. Germany's biggest bank announced plans for the huge share sale on Sunday, along with another overhaul of its strategy. CEO John Cryan said in a release, "The new three-pillar structure of our operating business should position us for significant growth both in revenues and earnings." This marks the fourth time Deutsche has raised capital since 2010. The four add up to a total of about $32 billion, which is more than the bank's current market value. Wells Fargo execs may face criminal charges. Don't hold your breath, but Reuters reports the U.S. Department of Justice is investigating whether Wells Fargo executives hid details of the company's recent scandal from the company's board and regulators. Wells Fargo disclosed in a $190 million settlement with regulators in September that staff opened as many as 2.1 million checking, savings, and credit card accounts without customer consent over several years to satisfy management's sales quotas. Officials are seeking to find out if executives shared everything they knew about the phony accounts to the Wells Fargo Board of Directors and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, the lead regulator for national banks. Greece's economy shrank by 1.2% in the fourth quarter of 2016. That, according to the latest data from the country's statistical service, Elstat. That was worse than the previous estimate of a 0.4% contraction. Alphabet, Google's parent company, is suing Uber for theft of trade secrets, alleging that one of the top engineers in its self-driving car program decamped with thousands of confidential files, including designs that helped him start self-driving truck company Otto and then quickly sell it to Uber. Uber denies the claims. Well, hope you enjoyed yourself with that Snapchat IPO, because the fun's just about over, at least for now, according to a weekend feature on Barron's. You can start by trying to justify this crazy number, a market cap that surged at one point to $37.8 billion, means 93 times its 2016 revenue of $405 million, with no profits expected until at least 2019. Several analysts initiated coverage of Snap as a sell, and many shareholders apparently felt it was a good time to pocket profits, shares down 7% today. TG Therapeutics said a late-stage study testing a combination of its experimental cancer drug in combination with an existing drug from AbbVie proved superior in high-risk patients with a common form of leukemia. The trial involved adult patients with high-risk chronic lymphocytic leukemia who had undergone at least one prior therapy. TG Therapeutics more than doubled in share price intraday. A strain of bird flu has been detected in chicken breeder flock on a Tennessee farm contracted to Tyson Foods. Tyson, the biggest chicken meat producer in the U.S., said in a statement it was working with state and federal officials to contain the virus by euthanizing 73,500 birds on the contract farm in 2014 and 2015 during a widespread outbreak of bird flu. The U.S. killed nearly 50 million birds, mostly egg-laying hens. The Arizona State Supreme Court scheduled to hold a hearing Thursday on a challenge to a minimum wage increase. Last year, voters passed a measure to raise the state's hourly minimum to $12 by 2020. That's up from $8.05. Under the measure, the minimum increased to $10 in January. In a court order issued last month, Chief Justice Scott Bales said the court will limit arguments to whether the measure violated the state constitutional provision that requires ballot measures to identify a funding source. Even though the state is exempted from the measure, the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and other business interests argue it will be impacted because of increased wages for private sector employees under state contracts. Any relief from the court would appear to be limited to state contractors and not private employers, unless the court agrees with the business group's arguments that the entire measure is unconstitutional. The chamber and other business interests went to court after Prop 206 passed, with support from 58% of voters. The measure gradually raises the state's minimum wage to $12 an hour by 2020 and requires employers to provide paid sick leave. The first step, an increase to $10 per hour, took effect January 1st. The sick leave provision scheduled to begin July 1st. Dow Jones Industrial Average today down 51 to close at 20,954. We're back down below the 21,000 level. S&P 500 down 7 at 2,375, and the NASDAQ Composite down 21 at 5,849. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog is eatthebankers.com, text, audio, and much, much more at eatthebankers.com.